Blog Talk Radio.
Time to watch this movie.
Neil Jones.
Shut the fuck.
98.
Ah!
It's ours.
Hey yo, regardless of rain or snow, sleet or hail, I kick street tales, choking niggas like I'm Freewell, Golden State, holding your fate in the palm of my hand, blow you away like it's part of the plan. I gotta call it like I see it, talking like I be it, walking my walk, thugged out, orthopedic, cause I'm soon to be up. Give me room, watch me heat up. Niggas try to stick me like Abdul Uwima, follow the leader, make me go extra hard. Yo, Norris, should I hold back or show the repertoire? Quit at 16 or throwing extra balls just for the non-believers. I show them why it's so hard to reach us. I get pussy with my father's features. Puff heavily. See me at 6'1", weigh a buck 70. Catch me in spots y'all niggas never be. Packed in like Green Bay, Harlem Week to Queens Day. Performing a cappella, no DJ. 98 live, no replay. Make it seem easy. So tell a friend and tell a friend that it's them again. Noriega, wild remnant.
Champagne on the rocks, born to Fort Knox, Lazarus. Shark salad with carrots, pork chops and applesauce. Twin connection, disrespect and watch your body cage and pump the shotty gate. And hit the shorty while he potty training. I ain't playing, I'm truly the worst. To be the first to get his whole body fully reversed. Uzi, your hurts, leave you double dead. I'm a bubble head. I never listen to nothing my mother said. And yo, I hold niggas ransom for money like Johnny Handsome. I'm selling niggas so long, I think I got a grandson. My passion is money, a stash and a honey that won't ask no questions, but don't blast anybody. That's my kind of girl. Kind of world I want to live in, not a cell or a prison or in hell. So I'm getting just a little ghetto where my niggas control the middle. And know the riddles of life for others, no more than little.
Rich places, sick places. See my story, 6,666 pages. Wages, I wrote 6 aces. And at the same dice game, I caught 6 cases. All over big faces. Now tip laces, ready to dig faces. But the bing, it ain't a bit spacious. Niggas building up their rib cages. Cats like the rip places, bloody lip faces. Kim is a big racist, but I stand for the big places. But the world know your girl though. I fuck her off a furlough. She'll be up, put me up. All your sales could be luck. Only question for these ducks is, baby girl, could we fuck? You the type that need a wife. LUX told y'all the key to life. Asshole, y'all don't play around. I lay it down, fuck around, I spray around. Flick a biscuit, nigga risk it, my ass.
Ain't no niggas in the world you know thorough than this. Bust off and sit the high barrel dead on your lips. Like 2/3 of a brick. Panero and Kiss, the crystal white fluffy parts that I come back with. See, the plan is to stash y'all, cash y'all. The weed so strong, they gotta put it in glass jars. Niggas try to smoke me out, then smoke me out. The rims on my new joint be poking out. I'm about to have no feelings, shit is deep. Do they dance with the devil when they sleep? I wake up gripping the air, wishing to hear shit that they kick in your ear when your soul drifts in the air. My gift is half rotten when I spit it to dead. That shit is dropped down my eye, I'm too tired to cry. And I ain't never seen a nigga that's too live to die. They say you get what you ask for, get it cause you ask for it. A nigga ain't a thief, then he better have the cash for it. And we gon' be around till your body rot. And if the feds brung us in, we get the same time Gotti got. Nigga,
hey yo, it's 2 way, into the hood, one plane. Y'all been smoking chronic like straight to the brain. Yo, let's get loose, Hennessy straight, with tomato juice, Queen Stallion. My guns from the Italian. Now y'all niggas recognize medallions. I play the best hood, OT with Tim Westwood. Used to be on Section 8, now my section is good. Dogged out, nigga, he wants to be good. And I don't give a fuck what, y'all say my shit. And I don't give a fuck what, you can save your shit. Y'all niggas like extra skin on my dick. Listen to Bob Marley, y'all funny niggas like Steve Harvey. Fighting live with a weak army. I play the nice guy, true, and he can smoke with you. But the realness, I ain't got no love for you. That's why I never do a song with you. Not even if your baby mom's fucked the crew and promised to give us head when you swallow it too. I still say no, no is no, no can do. My niggas drinking Haterade, drinking my flow. Yo.
Yo, yo, what it do? This is your boy Chills.
What happened?
Welcome to tonight's episode of the Skybox.
And this is your boy, the most electrifying man in internet radio in the building. What's happening?
What it do, champ? Oh, man, we got a lot of stuff for y'all tonight, man. I mean, from Battleground to Raw to SmackDown Live to Major League Baseball to the NFL, which has been hot, and We have a rant from me. Go ahead, go ahead, kick off that quick three, though.
Yes, indeed, the quick three. And for tonight, the quick three is actually brought to you by Lyft, because everybody should know I'm a Lyft driver. But guess what? If you've never used Lyft before and want to, you know, use it, you can use my code thechamp2882 and get a $20 credit towards your first ride. So y'all should definitely use that. Get out there and use them. You never know. Y'all might end up getting me as your driver. But anyway, that's what we're doing. That's where we at. But the first story in the quick three has to do with a very tragic story, and it has to do with former BMX biker David Mir. Give me one second, because somehow this thing just like, why did it do that? Oh my goodness. All right, David Mir, well, we're going to skip that one and go to another story that was that has garnered a lot of headlines, and that's Brock Lesnar and John Bones Jones. Both Lesnar and Jones both tested positive on their ADA-regulated drug test, non-competition drug test recently, prior to being a part of UFC 200. As many people know, Jones was pulled from the event. Lesnar subsequently was a part of the event, but then it was revealed after the event that he had tested positive. Both tested positive for hydroxychloroquine, which is anti-estrogen. But it was revealed also this week that the UFC would not fine these two individuals for those positive tests. However, the USADA, the body that collected the samples, as well as the Nevada Athletic Commission, will be handing out sanctions to both fighters for their positive tests because of the fact that the sample collection's proximity to UFC 200, which took place in Las Vegas on July the 9th. After an adjudication process, the NAC has the power to suspend and fine both Jones and Lesnar. Now, in Lesnar's case, the fine would be a percentage of his disclosed $2.5 million fight purse. USADA can also suspend them as the UFC's anti-doping partner, but the UFC will not fine the two, leaving fines up to individual state athletic commissions, according to Senior Vice President of Public Relations Dave Scholl. The language that is located in the anti-doping policy allows the promotion to levy fines in the future, however. So for right now, Lesnar and Jones will not face fines from the UFC, but they can likely face sanctions by the state athletic commissions as well as the ADA. Story number two has to do with a longtime recognizable figure in terms of football analyst on television. That would be former football player himself, Tom Jackson, who has spent the past 28 seasons as one of the most insightful and recognizable NFL analysts on television. But there is a strong likelihood that Jackson will not return to ESPN's Sunday NFL Countdown, according to the Daily News. An NFL TV source who spoke on the condition of anonymity said that, quote, he's still weighing his options. This will be Tommy's call. It's up to him. Tommy's driving the train on this one. The situation is fluid. Now, the source also said that the 65-year-old former player has been contemplating his TV future for quite a while. Another industry source has said that the odds of Jackson returning to ESPN after this season are very, very long, saying, quote, my guess is he is going to leave. The sources could not confirm if the brass at ESPN wanted to remove Jackson from his Sunday Countdown post and asked him to move to another platform. Now, considering the stature that he has at ESPN, and the respect that he has received, along with the accolades that he has received, it stands to reason that he could be given another role on another ESPN NFL show. Now, Jackson was a three-time Pro Bowler, three-time All-Pro linebacker, and an integral part of the Denver Bronco defense that was known as the Orange Crush. And many people know that he was also a very familiar face when it came to the NFL's end of the day show with Chris Berman. So if he does decide to follow the career, it will definitely be a very, very shocking and a very sad subtraction to ESPN's broadcasting staff. We're hoping that doesn't happen, but we'll see. And finally, the story that I was going to lead off with has to do with late BMX biker Dave Mira. Everybody who's heard knows that Mira committed suicide via a self-inflicted gunshot wound back on February the 4th. Well, it has been revealed that the former iconic BMX biker was found to have suffered from chronic traumatic encephalopathy, also known as CTE, which is the same brain disease that was diagnosed in a number of former football players, including the late Junior Seau, who also committed suicide, and the late Kenny Stabler, who passed away from cancer. Mira is said to be the first extreme sport athlete to be diagnosed with CTE. Now, most scientists do believe that that CTE is the result of repeated or concussive hits to the head. The concern is that each time the head takes a pounding, it shakes the brain inside the skull. That sort of jarring can lead to a buildup of an abnormal protein called tau, which can take over parts of the brain. Many people say CTE can result in Alzheimer's disease-like symptoms, including memory loss, rage, and mood swings. Mira's wife, Lauren, said in a statement after the diagnosis was publicly announced, quote, "We would like to thank our family, friends, and the overwhelming number of Dave's fans who have supported us during this difficult time. We ask for your continued support in honoring Dave's legacy, and for your patience as we plan to create a platform for CTE awareness and research." And that is your quick three for this evening, right here on the Skybox. Again, and if you want to use, if you want to get on the Lyft app and request a ride, use my code, thechamp2882. You get a $20 credit on your first ride. Go ahead and use Lyft. It's definitely worth it.
Well, all right, man, that was the quick three. Oh, man, where do we begin? How about the Major League Baseball Hall of Fame ceremony?
Well, why don't we can start with wrestling. I mean, there was so much that happened in wrestling this week that would be a great place to start.
Honestly, it would be. I just want to get this out of the way real quick.
Oh, is this your rant?
Nah. This is nowhere near the rant. Rant will possibly come after football.
Okay.
Oh, man. So it's official. Ken Griffey Jr. and Mike Piazza are officially enshrined in Cooperstown.
Hey, well-deserved from those two individuals. Both of those guys were amazing players during their time in the league, and neither one of them had any controversies with steroids or performance-enhancing drugs or anything like that. So well-deserved for those two guys, especially Junior.
I mean,
followed Junior pretty much his entire career almost. So, yeah, I'm very happy to see that they're in.
I mean, honestly, both guys did deserve it. I mean, those I mean, you cannot deny neither career. Both careers have been stellar. They have been nothing less than amazing. Nothing less of amazing. Congratulations again to Mike Piazza and Ken Griffey Jr. I watched both of you as a kid playing baseball. Now I'm a grown man seeing y'all get inducted into the Hall of Fame.
Amen. Amen. As I said, well deserved for those two guys. You know, Griffey has killed, you know, he's killed the Orioles plenty of times in his playing career, and I watched it, but for the most part, like I said, I was proud to see it, and I'm proud to watch him play. He was a great player and a very, you know, very humble individual as well.
Yeah. All right, let's go ahead and move on to wrestling, the wrestling side of things. This past Sunday WWE Battleground. This event was hosted at the Verizon Center, which I was in attendance at. But
I was about 5 blocks away on 12th Street.
Yeah, I was enjoying that sweet life. But man, what did you think about the pay-per-view overall?
Top to bottom is definitely a great event. And it just definitely is getting the under this era that we're getting into with the Raw and SmackDown line. I enjoyed it. I said I was down on 12th Street gas in my car waiting for the event to end so I can get there at home from the event. But I was definitely watching and enjoying everything.
I mean, honestly, overall, I thought it was a cool event. I mean, I didn't get to watch every match, but for the matches I did see, I mean, they were good matches. The match of the night, to me, though, it had to be Kevin Owens versus Sami Zayn. That match right there, like, I mean, it was beyond personal. This match will go down as one of the best matches of this year. Easily.
KO and Sami Zayn stole the show. They stole the show. That match,
without a doubt.
That match had so much action and told such a great story. I mean, it was definitely a fun match to watch, and it definitely told the story of their rivalry. And I'm actually planning on watching the replay, watching it on demand on the network, just for that match, because that was just how good that match was.
Oh yeah, I mean it was worth it. I mean honestly, that should have been the main event for real. But let's move on. Man, did I guess who Sasha Banks' tag team partner was going to be?
Yeah, you guessed it. I mean, the writing was on the wall. The writing was on the wall.
I mean, that's how I was able to guess it, though.
Yeah. The writing was on the wall.
Because, I mean, I figured, okay, Bayley didn't get drafted, so apparently they had other plans for Bayley.
I got a question for you, though, Chills. You were inside the Verizon Center. You were inside the Verizon Center. I was watching. How loud did it get when her music hit? Because it sounded really loud on the telecast. How loud did it get?
Oh. It fucking erupted.
I'm sure.
It erupted. Like, it, I mean, I can't describe it. I mean, I think she had the loudest ovation out of anyone. I mean,
I
just can't, you can't describe it. I mean, it was like Soulja Boy music hit. People saw it. I was like, oh, yeah. But, I mean, honestly, though, I was like, I was actually like, as soon as Sasha Banks came out, I was like, all right, come on, Bayley. Come on, Bayley. Bring that ass out here. As soon as her music hit, I was like, oh, yeah. This is going to be interesting. Honestly, I thought that was a good match, too. I'm not going to take nothing away from it. I mean, I knew who her tag team partner was going to be, and it was good seeing Sasha get the win that led her. Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that after we finish the pay-per-view. Let's see.
Right.
Another exciting match from Battleground. The New Day versus the Wyatts.
That was an interesting match. That was definitely an interesting match.
Even the part where Xavier froze up for a minute before he just went ham on Bray.
Yeah.
But overall, I thought it was a good match. I like the match. I wish that we would get at least one more match between the two teams. I mean, actually have a real series against the New Day and the Wyatts. I mean, I think it would have been more interesting. But that won't happen, so. Let's see. Cena and Enzo and Kaz versus the Club.
That was another very interesting matchup. I love Enzo on the mic. Like, dude, I love it.
They gave him a segment.
Like, he said that even they're the Mount Rushmore G's. He's like, even though there's only three of them, you got Cena in the ring, that makes us four G's. We're well connected. How you doing? I was like, bruh.
Man.
Nice. And then he said, you can't DC me. I was like, bruh. Bar.
I was like, oh, my God. That was a cheap prop. I mean, I ain't mad at it, but, yeah. I mean, it was funny. It was a nice segment. I mean, I'm mad these fools actually got a five-minute segment before the Club came out. I'm like, really? They just want to let Enzo really have his moment. I mean, that was possibly the best part of that entire match to me.
Yeah, I like that match. Like I said, that segment definitely kicked it up a notch. And, you know, with Cena getting the victory over AJ and then the Club going their separate ways, you know, you kind of figured that was what was going to happen given the fact that the Wyatts are splitting up and they won. So, you know, it was almost conventional wisdom that it was going to go the other direction with them, but still it was a good match, good storytelling for the most part. It was a good match.
Oh, man. All right, what's the next? Okay. Let's see, we had the highlight reel with Jericho and Randy Orton.
Oh, let me tell you something. That shade that Randy Orton threw at Lesnar, like, it only takes one RKO to take him to Viperville. No enhancement needed. I was like, bruh, are you serious with me right now? Did he really just say that? I was like, what?
I'm actually looking forward to that match at SummerSlam. We have plenty of time to talk about that. But I am really looking forward to that match at SummerSlam. That's going to be the whole show for me. Even though it's going to be some great matches already added. But that match right there, it just stands out on its own. But let's also, what other match? I'm trying to think of what the other matches from the pay per view. Oh yeah, the main event.
Natty versus Becky Lynch.
Yeah.
But yeah,
I think that was supposed to be my cigar break. That was a cigar break. I'm sorry. I really didn't care too much for that one.
Right. But, you know, it is what it is. They did, you know, we'll move on from that. Moving on.
Yeah.
And then you had,
how do you feel about the main event?
Well, first of all, we got to talk about the two other championship matches, the U.S. Championship match and the Intercontinental Championship matches.
Right. That's right.
That took
place.
Yeah, Rusev retained over Zack Ryder in what was a good match, and Miz kept his championship via disqualification over Darren Young.
That was some bull.
That was some BS.
It's funny though. Here's a funny story. Here's a funny story about that Darren Young versus the Miz match. Everyone in the suite was ready to chant Black Lives Matter if Darren Young would have won the IC title.
Oh my God.
guess who would have started that rant off?
Ooh, you?
Me. That was actually my idea to do it. I was like, you know what? If Darren Young wins, we're going to chant Black Lives Matter as a part of a celebration. But honestly, watching Bob Backlund be Bob Backlund was entertaining to me. I mean, even though I'm still trying to figure out, after he took his shirt off, why was the suspender still on? But anyway.
That ain't none of my business.
Watching Bob Backlund just flip out, man. That, I ain't gonna lie, that was comical.
I'm
gonna need WWE not to have him do that.
Watching Darren Young do the hand thing that Bob Backlund used to do back in the late 80s, early 90s, that killed me. I was like, oh my God, that took me back, dude. Dude, that took me back. I loved it. It was awesome.
Honestly, I'm starting to like this make Darren Young great again gimmick. Cause I mean, you have the charisma of Bob Backlund. And you could really see Darren Young is really starting to look better and starting to get a lot more TV time. And I like how he took the crossface chicken wing as his new finisher. That might be a good investment for him. Because honestly, he is slowly winning over the fans. He is slowly going over.
That chicken wing, though.
That crossface chicken wing.
I love the crossface chicken wing. That's a great submission hold.
Heck yeah. Because, I mean, it's hard. Once it's really locked in, it's hard to get out of. Because, I mean, it hurts you in more than one place. But the Rusev match, I wasn't surprised how that ended. I mean, I pretty much called it. At the end, where it looked like Zack Ryder was about to try to break the accolade. Yeah, Rusev just said, where you going, bruh? And fell all the way back. Yeah. From the suite, I was like, okay, that look like it really hurts. Go ahead, tap, Zach.
Right.
Go ahead and tap. We will not judge you, my friend. Because at least your back can go that. Your back can go that far back. I think something would have broken on me halfway.
Right. It is, you know, it is what it is, brother. Now we got to talk about the main event. Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose. Can you please tell me how loud was the booze when Roman Reigns needed to kick? Because it sounded like it was fucking deafening booze.
Okay. I don't mean to disappoint you. But I actually left before the main event.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, I had to leave. However, the center that is DC and DC don't like booty hair Reigns. Oh, they let him have it. I'm surprised that he actually
like
was able to make it to the ring. Like, if the boos got any louder, every TV would have vibrated.
It sounded like it to me,
but,
when I was watching.
But honestly, at this point, I think a lot of people are somewhat surprised that Dean Ambrose is still your WWE World Heavyweight Champion. Well, I did say SmackDown was going to get a World Heavyweight title.
Yep, they did. They got it. That's going to lead us to our discussion about Raw and SmackDown Live in a minute. But, yeah, I mean, Dean Ambrose walking out with the championship was kind of a surprise because there was a lot of talk that he was going to end up dropping it, but I guess they feel as though he can run with it on SmackDown Live, so they let him keep it, and we'll see how it goes. But that leads us to the Raw that took place the following night on the USA Network, the new era of Raw, led by Stephanie McMahon and Mick Foley. And the big announcement that they made at the beginning of the show.
Oh, man. Yes. It was a huge announcement. A new Universal Heavyweight Championship. The WWE Universal Championship. Like, I'm stuck on that. Like, I'm not knocking the name of the title. I'm just shocked that they use Universal. But let's actually talk about how everything got established. How we got number one. How we have a number one contender for the title of SummerSlam. Well, Seth Rollins had a bye, but you know we're not gonna.
We're not going to talk about
it. Go into too much detail.
Yeah, we're not.
But, yes, it was, what, two series of Fatal 4-Way matches where the winner of both of the Fatal 4-Way matches will meet later in the main event on Monday Night Raw. Monday Night was also the debut of... Can I get a drum roll? Can I get a drum roll? Can I get a drum... A former... NXT champion Finn Balor. He made his Monday Night Raw debut last Monday, and he was in one of the Fatal 4-Way matches, which he won and faced Roman Reigns in the main event. Now, for those who didn't catch Monday Night Raw. The main event was Roman Reigns versus Finn Balor. Winner gets a title shot at the WWE Universal Championship at SummerSlam. And Finn Balor won.
That was a shock.
What are your thoughts? That was a shock.
Like, I did not under any circumstances think that the WWE was going to pull the trigger that quick on putting Finn Balor almost on main event status on Raw. I did not think. I honestly figured when I saw that Roman Reigns was in that main event against Finn, I figured, Finn about the job. It's going to be Roman versus Seth at SummerSlam, you know, for the Universal Championship, whatever. But when Finn got the coup de grace and beat Reigns clean, I gotta admit, I was kind of shocked. I mean, a part of that is, you know, Reigns just came back from his suspension for popping the fist and violating the wellness policy. But I mean, like I said, I just
Pop Molly, he's sweating.
That.
Pop Molly, he's sweating.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Right.
I'm sorry.
But,
I don't mean to poke fun at someone's misery.
Right. But
Papa Molly, he's wet. I'm sorry. I can't get that out of my head now.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
But But I just did not think that Finn was going to get that push right away. I mean, granted, he has earned that by his work in NXT. I mean, he was the longest reigning NXT champion in that in NXT history. I mean, 292 days as champion, putting on great, great matches. So he did deserve it. But, man, I just did not think they was going to pull that trigger so quickly.
Honestly, I'm glad that they did. I mean, one, it's the best way to kick off this new era that they've been promoting for a minute. Why not kick it off by pushing your newest star to the main roster? I mean, some people might say it's too soon. At least let them have a real debut match, but F that. Balor is a proven wrestler. More proven than booty hair Roman Reigns. So to see Finn Balor win was huge. I mean, I was hoping they was going to win, and I'm glad that he did win. I mean, I wanted to see Kevin Owens get that shot, but I guess I'll be waiting for that. Honestly, though, I think that's a good move for the WWE, despite what Vince Russo said. But who really cares about Vince Russo? I mean, this is the guy that booked David Arquette to win the title. But honestly, I think it was a good move. It was the right move for the direction that they're trying to go in. Plus, that main event, Seth Rollins versus Finn Balor for the Universal title.
Shut up and take my money. Shut up and take my money.
Exactly. It's a match that can actually compete and take some of the attention away from Orton versus Lesnar. It won't take much, but it can actually compete for that high-profile type match. Because for a lot of people, this is a dream match. And people will be looking forward to it. Also, this past Monday night, we crowned a new women's champion.
Oh, dude.
That's right.
Shout out to Sasha
Banks,
right. Man. Shout out to Sasha Banks, man. God damn it.
Due to the fact that the boss, Sasha Banks, made Charlotte tap on Sunday at Battleground, she was given a title shot for the women's title on Monday Night Raw, where she made Charlotte tap out again. Congratulations to Sasha Banks. I was rooting for you. I'm glad that you won a belt. You will be a great women's champion. It was about time to get that belt off of Charlotte. Because honestly, I was really starting to grow tired of her. She just got stale to me. But, I mean, I'm looking at it like that was a really great match. That match itself might have been the match of the night from Monday Night Raw.
Yeah. Yes, I got to tell you, those two women left it all in the ring. They pulled out a lot of moves, pulled out a lot of styles. The fact that Dana Brooke was taken out of the equation, leaving it to be a one-on-one, just made it that much better to watch the match. And it was just amazing to watch.
Kudos to Sasha Banks for pulling the old Eddie Guerrero.
Dude, I loved it.
I was like, oh yeah. She learned that from Latino Heat. Oh man. But I mean, I'm proud though. I'm actually shocked though that it would put a match of that caliber on Monday Night Raw instead of putting it on a pay-per-view. I guess they didn't want to wait till SummerSlam for Charlotte to drop the belt. But they, I mean, I'm just shocked that they gave that match for free. They took a page out of Eric Bischoff's book. But the difference is they actually had matches set for the pay-per-view that will steal the show, opposed to giving away the main event match on Monday night for free and having nothing for the pay-per-view.
Things are different.
Now, anything else for Monday Night Raw you want to bring up, or you want to go straight to SmackDown Live?
We can go straight to SmackDown Live, which is, you know, which also ushered in their new era. They had themselves a battle royal to determine who was going to be joining five other superstars in a six-pack challenge to determine who was going to be the number one contender for Dean Ambrose's championship, the now known as the WWE World Championship. It's no longer the WWE Championship, formerly the WWE World Heavyweight Championship, now the World Championship. And the Battle Royal saw Apollo Crews emerge victorious. And I mean, I got to say, it's about time. I mean, y'all brought this dude up with all this hype, and then he kind of fell off. But now you kind of, you know, you kind of give him that little bit of a nudge by, you know, putting him in a main event match with some good, you know, very good caliber individuals and everything like that. But, yeah, that was a good move there by the E to, you know, give him that little bit of a shine there. On the first SmackDown, on the second SmackDown Live, and the first after the brand extension.
Yeah, honestly, I was glad to see Apollo finally get that real push after all the hype. I think he's still missing that one piece to get him over, which is possibly either a good manager or someone to really give him a gimmick that shows off his charisma. But going into the six-pack challenge, in that match we saw Apollo Crews,
yep.
Dolph Ziggler.
Yep.
We also, hold up. We saw Baron Corbin, AJ
Corbin.
Styles.
That's four. Yeah. Bray Wyatt.
Oh, yeah. Forgot all about Bray. Wow. I feel like I'm missing somebody.
I think Cesaro was the sixth.
Yeah.
So, wait, is Cesaro Raw or SmackDown? I can't remember.
He's Raw.
Yeah, so no,
Cesaro
he wasn't.
Raw.
He was part of one of the Fatal 4-Ways to go on to the main event there. So, no. I can't remember who the sixth person was. That was a good match. It was all over the place, that match. But, hey.
John Cena. John Cena. How could we forget about
bad.
John Cena?
Bama.
But overall, it was a good match, though. I mean, you can't take nothing from it.
But before we
I was
talk
surprised
about,
that Dolph Ziggler won it, though.
But yo, before we talk about the six-pack challenge in the winter, how about the announcement that was made on SmackDown Live? The return of one of the most pure athletes to grace the WWE ring, a former U.S. champion, a former Intercontinental champion, a former tag team champion, and has gone all over the world and has been successful. The one and the only Shelton effing Benjamin, dude.
Now, that was a huge announcement. That was a very huge announcement. The fact that Shelton is returning to SmackDown Live next week, it was huge. I mean, I see SmackDown is really trying to step their game up. Hopefully, Shelton will be more than just the guy that puts over new and younger talent. But the WWE has been missing a talent like Shelton's for a while. Also, speaking of returns, during a solid promo from Heath Slater, demanding why he talking about why he wasn't drafted and demanding why he should be in the main event six-pack challenge. During that promo, as it was ending, another wrestling legend made his return to the WWE. The man they call Rhino.
Yeah.
He gored Heath Slater out of his shoes. And the sad part is, I actually enjoyed that promo. It was the one time that he actually separated himself from being at the bottom.
Yeah, I agree. It was definitely something entertaining. Definitely, it was like something very surprising. So it was definitely fun to watch, but. You know, Rhino has just, you know, made his return a few months ago, but was down in NXT. So this is actually his official return to the WWE, to the main roster. Hopefully he gets a run hopefully he goes back to NXT and gets a chance to, you know, run with the NXT championship maybe, or comes up to the main roster and has a run. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? Speaking of, we actually was talking about Randy Orton from Battleground. He also had a match. Well, he had a segment with The Miz, then he had a match where we saw The Miz take two RKOs to send a message to Brock Lesnar.
Yep.
What was your thoughts on that, on just seeing those RKOs?
I mean, that shows you that, you know, Randy Orton is going to, you know, probably working his way back to being able to do, you know, full matches and everything like that with, you know, being out for 9 months, that shoulder injury and everything like that. But that kind of diminishes The Miz, who has been a pretty good Intercontinental Champion. He's played that role so well with his wife, Maurice, and, you know, I used to not really be a big fan of The Miz, but over the last few months, you know, with this gimmick he has, I kind of dig it. You know, he's definitely playing that role so well, and, you know, just adding in Maurice to the picture just kind of, you know, builds that up a little bit more, because, you know, she's there to, like, hype him up and everything like that. I definitely enjoy the gimmick.
Honestly, I ain't gonna lie. I cannot hate on The Miz. I cannot hate on a guy. I mean, the man has put up a solid reign since he's really came back as the A-lister. Then you add his wife to the mix. I mean, he was pure genius.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't knock the man during his reign, because he's held that IC title down. He's made it real. He's made it relevant.
Yes, he did. Yes, he has. And I think he's going to definitely keep it relevant on SmackDown Live. He's going to put on some really good matches. I mean, a lot of people don't realize, you know, The Miz has definitely improved a lot over the years, and is definitely can put on some pretty good matches. So I think he's going to make it very much relevant in the long run. But eventually he's going to drop that championship. When? We won't know. He's already had that belt for over 110 days, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, we'll see what's going to happen. Honestly, I was pushing for Darren Young to get it done, but he is on Raw, so we can't really say that now.
Right.
And I believe that will close us out on wrestling.
But congrats to Dolph Ziggler, though, man. That man has been grinding and took a step back, and now he's back in the main event light against Dean Ambrose at SummerSlam. I mean, that's awesome. That is so awesome to see that.
It really is. Because, I mean, at one point, it was like that. It was like the WWE pretty much gave up on him. But to see him now, finally, after taking a step back for a few years, to see him back in that main event spotlight, going for a world title. This is something that should have been in play for him. I mean, yes, he is a former world champion, but, I mean, you look at his two rings. I mean, it was really nothing special about him. Hopefully, he will get his time to really shine. I mean, I'm not going to say a whole Ambrose loses, or I won't say he's going to lose at SummerSlam, but I have a pretty good feeling that he might drop that belt to Dolph Ziggler. Right now, Dolph Ziggler is riding an all-time high. He's on a different level than he's used to being, and he's finally getting that type of a push that he deserves. So hopefully SmackDown, him being on SmackDown Live, can rejuvenate his career. And right now, it looks like it's doing that. Hopefully that it just won't be, oh, just for one pay-per-view.
Right. Yeah, I hope that this won't be, you know, one of those one-time deals, and then next thing you know, he's back, you know, jobbing the guys like Baron Corbin or anybody else, you know. Hopefully he gets to.
Yeah, he's already been down that route.
Yeah, hopefully he gets to really be up there and be in the spotlight. That'd be good.
But now let's move on to the football side of things. Man, it's been hot in the NFL for the past week. We have stories out of the ass.
Dude, you ain't lying.
Okay. First, I would like to address all the players who have announced their retirement. Former Arizona Cardinals and San Francisco 49er defensive tackle Darnell Dockett retired on Monday. Former Green Bay Packers receiver, Green Bay Packers, Miami Dolphins, and Minnesota Vikings receiver Greg Jennings also announced his retirement via YouTube. Football is over. I'm done. And last but not least, we have a retirement from Vikings defensive tackle Kevin Williams, who was re-signed by the Vikings on a one-day contract so he could retire as a Viking. He announced it. He is announcing his retirement. So that's three players that have announced their retirement. But it's funny, though, because I found an article on the 2016 All Retirement Team. Yes, they made a 2016 All Retirement Team of 22 players who announced their retirement. And this lineup is pretty solid. At quarterback, you have Peyton Manning. Running back, Marshawn Lynch. Your wide receivers. Megatron, Calvin Johnson, Greg Jennings. Your slot receiver is Percy Harvin. Tight end, Heath Miller. Offensive tackle, DeBrick Shaw Ferguson. Offensive line, Logan Mankins. Manny Ramirez. Phil Loudholt. And Eugene Monroe as your other offensive tackle. On the defensive end, you have the defensive end, Jared Allen. B.J. Raji as your nose tackle, as your defensive tackle. Darnell Dockett as your other defensive tackle. And Justin Tuck as your other defensive end. Linebackers would include John Beeson, Gerard Mayo, and A.J. Tarpley. Secondary, you have defensive back and longtime Chicago Bears great, Charles Tillman. Rashawn Mathis as the other cornerback. Your safeties will include Charles Woodson and Hassan Abdullah. And that is your 2016 all-retirement team. Exactly. That's a nice squad.
That is a nice squad right there. I like that squad.
Imagine if that squad was actually put together by one franchise. Like, through the draft. Actually built through the draft. Imagine it.
Crazy.
Oh, man. All right, let's go more. How about those Cowboys?
Man,
how about them Cowboys?
How about them Cowboys? How about them Cowboys? Randy Gregory, this battle here.
So, wait. He goes from a 4-game suspension to a 10-game suspension.
Well, they haven't announced it yet. Randy Gregory, who's already suspended for the first 4 games of the season, is enrolling into a treatment program as he faces the prospect of an additional suspension because, according to reports, he may have violated the substance abuse program, which could bring the suspension to at least 10 games because he either tested positive or he failed a drug test and whatnot. So, dude, and then Rolando McClain is serving a 10-game suspension, and Marcus Lawrence is sitting out the first 4 games. So that pass rush of the Cowboys is looking a little bit suspect right about now for the first couple months of the season.
Well, honestly, it still looks suspect. I mean, because they really didn't have that much of a pass rush to begin with. But now you have three of your best defensive players out for a combination of the first 4 and the first 10 games. I mean, this does not help this team right now. I mean, it's funny because a lot of Cowboy fans actually laughed at the Redskins because they drafted Randy Gregory, a player that there was mentions that we would want. Now, looking back at Randy Gregory, I mean, I'm glad we didn't draft him. I mean, no offense, but I mean, you got caught with some dumb shit before you got drafted. Then got hit for the first 4 games of your rookie season. Which way is up, guy?
He failed a drug test at the NFL scouting combine, which caused his draft stock to just pretty much go into a full downfall. He was a consensus top 10 talent, ended up getting drafted by the Cowboys in the second round. And he was also late to pre-draft interviews amid concerns about his ability to handle the mental rigors of professional football. And now, you know, like you said, first four games of his rookie season, he sat on the bench. And now he's sitting on the bench for the first four games of his sophomore season and possibly 10 games of his sophomore season. And there's even talk that he may not even play again, according to the brain trust of the Cowboys. So, yeah.
Well, then.
Oh, my goodness. That guy.
Oh, well, not my concern. Well, speaking of four-game suspension, Cleveland Browns wide receiver Josh Gordon has been reinstated by the NFL and will face a four-game suspension to start off the 2016 season.
At this point, I'm
actually hoping for Josh Gordon right now. I hope that he has learned from his past mistakes, and I hope that going, spending all his time away from professional football will help him focus on what's important.
Yeah,
I mean, hopefully this will open his eyes. This will be a wake up call for him.
Yeah, I'm surprised that he got reinstated. Like, many people have heard on this very program me say that, you know, Josh Gordon, you know, no. Same thing with Justin Blackman. But I guess the league is going to give Josh Gordon that chance to play football and make a living. So hopefully Josh Gordon doesn't mess that up, because if he messes that up, trust and believe me, I'm going to be right back on here to this very program, and I'm going to be like, I told y'all not to trust that Bama. But let's see what happens. You know, hopefully he gets it together. Hopefully he's gotten it together and he can go out there and be a very viable weapon for RG3 and that Cleveland Browns offense. Except when they face us, where we're going to beat the crap out of them. Anyway, okay.
Moving, we're still sticking on football. One thing I wanted to point out, former Minnesota Vikings head coach Dennis Green died last week at the age of 67.
That was a shock. I love Dennis Green.
Yeah, that was he died last Friday. Like, God.
He was one of the most underrated coaches in the league. One of the most underrated. I mean, he had that Minnesota Vikings team clicking on all cylinders the year that they almost went to the Super Bowl. They were one game away from the Super Bowl. They had the top offense in the league with Chris Carter, Randy Moss, and Randall Cunningham in his 40s out there slinging it like he was 20 years old again. They were looking
amazing. Don't forget about Robert Smith.
Oh, yeah, Robert
Smith. Bruh,
that offense.
People always forget about him.
Yeah, I didn't mean to forget about it. It's just, all right, but yeah, Rob, I mean, that whole offense was just freaking amazing. And it caught, and it took Morton Anderson having his first miss of the year, three years happened, and Atlanta ended up going to the Super Bowl.
It was the first miss in two years.
Yeah, and then Atlanta went to the Super Bowl and got just routed by Denver as John Elway back-to-back championships and goes out in a blaze of glory.
Minnesota had a chance to put that game away before that missed field goal. They had chances to put away that game. That game shouldn't have been what it was at all. Man, Atlanta did not belong on the same field as that Minnesota team. That game should have been over at halftime. But Minnesota let them stick around. Plus, John Randle getting hurt in that game did not help them either. I mean, John Randle was the heart and soul of their defense.
Mm-hmm.
Without him, that Minnesota defense could not stop the run. They could not stop the Falcons. They could not stop the Dirty Bird.
Nope.
But rest in peace, Danny Green. Danny Green, we will miss you. 2006 is taking no prisoners.
2016 is handing out so many L's right now. Like, I can't take it.
Exactly. Also facing a suspension, Le'Veon Bell of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
This guy.
Suspension for violating the NFL substance abuse policy.
This guy. I just find
Ezekiel Elliott.
Ezekiel Elliott. Yo, that story is so crazy.
Well, reported on Friday, he was accused of domestic violence. And there was a report earlier today that came out that his case will be investigated.
It seems like every twist, every turn is something else with that story with Elliott. And as many people remember, he was drafted by who? The Cowboys.
The Cowboys. Well, since we're still on the Cowboys, well, since we went back to the Cowboys, another thing happened to them over the weekend. One of their team buses, actually, was in a four-way, was in a deadly crash between their team bus and a car.
Yeah.
There was no player on the bus, but the driver of the car, the driver and the passengers of the car did sustain more than just injuries.
Cowboys, it seems like there's a snake bit.
No one was harmed on the bus, though. But to the people who were in that car that was crushed by the bus, prayers going out to those and their families, because, I mean, it's tragic for anyone to be in a car crash or any type of anything.
Yeah, it was. Prayers go out to them. A very, very sad situation that occurred out there. You never want that to happen. It's always tragic. We may clown the Cowboys, being Redskins fans and everything.
I don't want
to
see nobody get hurt, though.
Yeah, that's nothing to joke about at all.
That was rough. Oh, your boy Alden Smith. You know what? We're not even going to talk about that. Your man did enough damage.
Why?
Hey, you posted an article. You posted an article in the group.
And that why it got me, man. That ain't my boy,
that,
man. That's
that,
crazy.
That's
going to
be
him.
You're going to have to take responsibility for it because you shared the article of him making a video of him on that good stuff. Yeah.
Honestly, I think
he's more damaging than Josh Gordon's at this point.
I can't deal with this dude.
Because, his L's are worse than Josh Gordon's. I'm sorry. I don't care what nobody say. This guy actually did a video of him just, bruh. Do you not care about your career at all? It doesn't mean nothing to you. Anywho, another article from earlier this week. Peyton Manning is cleared of all PED use after NFL investigation. No credible evidence that Peyton was provided with or used HGH or other prohibited substances by the league's PED policy.
That's no shot.
And Redskins Nation, we have two stories for you. First one coming in is outside linebacker Junior Galette has sustained a torn Achilles and will be out for the entire season again. For those who remember, Galette last season tore his Achilles, came back during offseason and tears the other one. At this point, should he retire?
Yeah.
I'm just saying. I mean, you tear one the year before, then you tear the other one the following year. Like, at this point, dude, save whatever is left of your body and call it a career. Hopefully, he can get a job as a on somebody's coaching staff or announce team or analyst, whatever. But as of right now, with two torn Achilles, yeah. I wouldn't risk it, bruh.
Right. Yeah. He needs to go ahead and just hang it up. It's no telling what could happen next season. If he does come back, he might F around and tear one of those two up again. And then at that point, it's just like your quality of life is in trouble at this point. He might as well just let it go.
Yeah, he might as well just say goodbye. Other headline for Redskins Nation. Washington Redskins owner Dan Snyder, in honor of the late Chief Z, Snyder paid for Chief Z's funeral.
Now that is a stand-up. That was the most stand-up thing I've seen Dan Snyder do since he's been the owner of this team. To pay for Chief Z's funeral, he was laid to rest on Wednesday, today, up in Capitol Heights, up in Maryland. And the fact that he paid for it, is one of the most stand-up things I've seen Dan Snyder do since he's been the owner. The other stand-up thing he did was also for Chief Z. As Chief Z got up there in years, it became difficult for Chief Z to walk, and so Dan Snyder actually bought him a scooter so that he can navigate his way around FedEx Field. Snyder has definitely, you know, looked out for Chief Z throughout the years, because, you know, everybody knows Chief Z is like the ultimate super fan and has been the ultimate super fan of this team for several decades. It's only fitting that the last thing that was done for Chief Z was that his funeral would be paid for by Mr. Snyder. That was great. That was a great thing.
Yeah, hats off to Dan Snyder for that.
Yeah, at first it was an anonymous donor, but it was revealed that he was the anonymous donor, which is awesome, you know.
I mean, it really was. Sticking into the NFC East, Tom Coughlin reportedly to join the NFL's football operations department.
Well, I definitely football.
I guess Tom Coughlin will die as an employee of the NFL.
Well, I mean, Coughlin spent 12 years in New York and got two Super Bowls, and prior to that was was Jacksonville Jaguars head coach for 8 years. We spent like 20 years as a head coach. So I think he's bringing a great deal of experience and knowledge to the football operations department. It doesn't seem like his role has been, it hasn't been said, you know, what his actual title will be. But yeah, I mean, I'm sure that he's going to be a welcome addition to that department. And it's just obvious that he, you know, he wasn't feeling being retired, being 69. He's like, you know, retirement, yeah, F that.
Yeah, he, age is not stopping him from doing anything. We have some fresh releases. One, kick returner Devin Hester has been released from the Atlanta Falcons, and quarterback Nick Foles has been released by the Los Angeles Rams.
Yeah, the release, Foles' release by the Rams was of no surprise because he requested it. He's been disgruntled ever since the L.A. Rams took Jared Goff as the number one overall pick. So it was basically just one of those situations where it was just like, okay, y'all obviously don't want me here, so just, you know, get rid of me. So much so that Nick Foles agreed to have his guaranteed salary for the year lowered from $1.75 million to just $1 million so that he can be released. So that's how, again, that's how serious he was about being out of L.A.
Well,
so,
this opens
yeah.
the door for him and teams who are still in need a big quarterback.
Yeah. And then, like I said,
I mean, you
LA
have quite
is,
a few teams I need. They still use it.
And then L.A., you know, they're good on quarterback depth because, you know, you have Goff, the number one overall pick, who, you know, many scouts have said he's already pro-ready and could probably start week one. You have former undrafted free agent Case Keenum, who has veteran experience and has some playoff experience. And you also have Sean Mannion, who was the Rams' third-round pick last year when they were in St. Louis. And then when you have second-year running back Todd Gurley back there for a second season, the Rams, they could be all right. I don't really think they really need Nick Foles, but, you know, who knows.
Yeah. But there are some teams that could possibly use the services of Nick Foles.
Well, I know one team that don't
to
need
name
him.
Name a few?
I know one team that don't need him. The New York Jets.
Yep, nope, not at all.
Nope, because they re-signed Ryan Fitzpatrick to a one-year deal worth $12 million.
Yep, so Fitz will be back in the green and white for another season.
Yep, exactly.
Speaking of former quarterbacks, though, ex-NFL quarterback Marcus Vick was caught on video running from cops and captured at gunpoint.
Marcus Vick is a lost cause. He's a lost cause. Point blank, period. Lost cause. I mean, his brother slipped up with the dog fighting, but his brother said, long since, you know, paid his debt to society, has moved on, and, you know, was able to, you know, get his career back on track. Marcus, that dude right there, boy, I tell you, he just can't do no right for nothing.
Man, I was done with the dude like years ago, but somebody needs to reach out to this dude. I mean, this dude is 32. Like, come on, bruh. there's certain things you just cannot be doing at your age. I mean, I know it's hard out here, but bruh. Like, this Bama is the he's the Lawrence Phillips of this generation.
Well, speaking of, we actually have
another injury update that I posted. The Chiefs placed Jamaal Charles on the pup list.
So they're not going to have Charles. They're not going to have Jamaal Charles for the first 8 games of the season.
If I'm the Kansas City Chiefs, Do I move on in the running back position?
Nope.
I do.
No. Jamaal Charles. I think Jamaal Charles still has something left in the tank, and you know, give him those 8 weeks, and I'm telling you, week 9 when he comes back, the Chiefs are going to be a whole different team, and they're going to be a team to be reckoned with, and things of that nature. I mean, you do have Chandrick West back there also, so you know you end up with Chandrick West and Jamaal Charles splitting carries, and I think you have a very, very, very intimidating backfield going into the second half of the season later on the season.
Okay, here's why I say yes. They should move on from Jamaal Charles because one, they do have whatever his name is, West. I can't pronounce it. I'm sorry. And they also have another young running back in Nile Davis. They have two good running backs who can produce and split the carries. At this point in Jamaal Charles' career, he's getting close to that 30 mark, if he's not 30 already, and he cannot get you through an entire NFL season. It's like every time you look up, this guy is injured. Yes, he is an amazing running back. He can catch out the backfield. He can run through people. He can run over people. But he cannot stay healthy. He'll be
30
this December. At this point of his career, I will start looking for his replacement.
Matter of fact, Jamaal Charles' birthday is actually the same day as my son's birthday, December 27th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
But, I mean, looking at Jamaal Charles' career, he's been injured every year that he's been into the NFL. At this point, I would look at him as, okay, it's time for us to move on at this position. Kansas City has two good running backs. One of them is bound to be a suitable replacement. Hell, both might be a suitable replacement.
Yeah.
But at this point, I think they should just move on from Jamaal Charles. See if you can trade him when he's healthy or just cut your ties with him. Okay, a few stories I want to get out of the way, non-football related, before I go into my rant. Because we have 26 minutes left. I mean, ooh, not 26, but we have 6 minutes left.
Okay.
The first story goes into college basketball. Oklahoma State former basketball player Tyreek Carter passed away. It's actually an article of the head coach breaking down due to the tragic death. But Tyreek just transferred from Cape Fear Community College in North Carolina. He was rated the 21st best junior college prospect in the nation, averaging 12 points and 7 rebounds a game. He signed with Oklahoma State on June 27th and was on campus for 2 weeks before tragedy struck. University officials say Cogger was participating in a workout at Boone Pickens Stadium around 5 p.m. on Thursday. Authorities say he did not appear to be struggling during a workout, but sat down at the top of the stairs when the workout was finished. At that point, other players and staff members went over to him and noticed something was wrong. Immediately, trainers called 911 and firefighters arrived at the stadium less than 5 minutes later. A short time later, he was rushed to a hospital. Tragically, he was pronounced dead at 6:23 p.m. University officials say they go through a serious and thorough series of health tests, which gave them no indication that Cogger was suffering from any health issues. At this point, authorities have not determined what caused his death. Wow. Rest in peace. I don't know if you heard, but the WNBA, their players actually were on the verge of a boycott in support of Black Lives Matter. Last week, it started off that they was going to get fined for wearing their jerseys inside out, and now that decision has been, all fines have been dropped against the WNBA players who actually were speaking against police brutality. The NBA pulls the 2017 All-Star game from Charlotte due to the whole, well, you already know, was it H2B?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the anti-gay lesbian law.
HB2, yes. So the NBA, the 2017 All-Star game will no longer be in Charlotte. Wow. Good job, North Carolina. I believe that's all stories. And since we're on the subject of Black Lives Matter, for those who haven't been really following sports, Carmelo Anthony has led a protest through the position of being a sports figure. From him making an announcement a couple of weeks ago to him, LeBron James, Dwayne Wade, and Chris Paul standing up at the ESPYs, to him blasting the NBA for fining the players for standing up for Black Lives Matter, and now him just being an overall activist. This story actually now connects to the comments that Michael Jordan made. For those who are unaware, Michael Jordan actually broke his silence and decided to donate $1 million to the NAACP and to the police. In a stance where he pretty much feels, though, that he's being neutral because he feels, though, that there is good law enforcement out here. And he also wants to give back to the African-American communities. But with this action, Michael Jordan has taken a huge hit. I mean, he's trying to build trust between police and the community, but he's still getting criticized for people saying, oh, why you don't do this? Why you ain't do that? Like on the other day, ESPN anchor actually tried to bash him for not donating anything to Black Lives. Ooh, oh, that was loud. not donating anything to Black Lives Matter. Here's my problem with that. And here's my problem to anyone who's criticizing this man for actually doing something. One, if you have a problem with what he did, your problem is not with him. Your problem is with yourself. With yourself, the simple fact that you are bashing another black man because he's doing something that you're not doing. You want to address this man for not donating to the Black Lives Matter? Here's my question to you. What have you donated to Black Lives Matter? You want to talk about, oh, he's just now saying something. First of all, guy had a problem when he didn't say anything. Now he says something and y'all still have a problem. People need to get over themselves. Y'all want to be like, F him, F them, F him, F him. What have you done? Who have you donated anything to? Who are you helping? Who are you supporting? Who in the hell are you to judge someone that does more in a year for charity than you will do in your lifetime? And I'm not just talking about donating money. I'm talking about actually voicing, making your voice known. I'm talking about actually donating your time, protesting, supporting, etc. What are you doing? What have you done? For the simple fact that you got these so-called woke African-Americans talking about, oh, Jordan don't care. He doesn't even like his people. First of all, please, please, cut the crap. Everybody keeps saying that he said that he don't like black people. Please, have some facts of that. Show something of him not, of him saying that he doesn't like black people. Next, please quit it with the he invests in prisons. First of all, that's the wrong Michael Jordan. He does not own a prison. The Michael Jordan that people keep mixing him up with is a Caucasian male from the state of Oregon. But let's say if he did invest in prisons, do you know how many black millionaires invest in prisons? More than you'll know. But it hurts me. It aggravates me to see so many African Americans down our own because they don't feel that they're doing what's right for us. First of all, our wealthy African Americans who worked for theirs don't owe you anything. You are a grown ass person. Make the difference for your life on your own. Be your own leader. Bust your ass so you can get to where you want to be in life. Make your life whatever you want it to be. Don't bash someone else because of who they are, what they have done, and what they're doing. Who the hell are you to tell someone what to do with their money, what to do with their time, especially where you're not doing the same yourself? I'm sick and tired of black people doing this. It's sickening. It's sad. Y'all want to be woke? That's great. But wake up and look in the mirror at some of the stupid stuff y'all do too. Look in the mirror of all the other African Americans that you bash. Y'all want to bash Jordan because there's a rumor saying he don't like black people? But y'all bash your own race on a daily basis. Every day. You don't say you don't like black people, but you show it in ways. Hell, you hating on another African American is the same thing as you saying that you don't like African Americans. We hate on our own when our own succeeds instead of supporting it. How can you bash one man, say that he could do more when you don't even support your own? You don't support your own businesses. You don't support your own banks, etc. So how can you say that this man ain't shit when in reality, you're not shit? Wake the fuck up, people.
Hey, I think that's the end of the show right there. That's the end of the show. Ain't nothing else need to be said. Ain't nothing else need to be talked about. That's the end of the show.
I mean that's how I feel. I mean all the shit I see on Facebook, like, really, I mean, y'all go from Black Lives Matter to passing judgment on other African Americans. Seriously? This is why black people are in a position that they're in now. Well, it's one of the reasons. I mean, we don't get much help in society, but we hold our own back from achieving by lack of support, by jealousy, by judgment, by all these other negative characteristics, instead of supporting, instead of being proud, instead of taking up for our own. We bash our own more than any other race does, but yet still want to blame other people. It's not his fault that your kids are getting shot over his product. But for those parents who are killing and stealing for material things, it's your fault that your child is out here doing these things. He's not selling guns. He's not telling your kids, oh, if you can't afford my shit, rob somebody else. He's not out here doing that. Take over your household. Invest into your children. Y'all want to stop black-on-black crime? It starts with us. Jordans wouldn't have any value if they didn't have material value. That's it. The people wouldn't desire Jordans if they had no material value. Okay, now I'm done.
Well, like I said, that's the end of the show right there. Ain't nothing else we can say. That's the end of the show.
Yeah, because we're actually 8 minutes overdue now. Well, it's been fun, y'all. It's been real. This has been another episode of the Skybox. Y'all have heard my rant. Hopefully, I might actually share tonight's show tomorrow, because honestly, I want my rant to really be heard. But tune in tomorrow night. We have Two Sides of the Story presents the Mic Check. Friday night, we have Two Sides of the Story presents His and Hers. And we'll be back next Wednesday night, 10 p.m., 9 p.m. Central. All right, y'all, we out.
Bye-bye.